Welcome to the Angaza Forum podcast, where we engage in dynamic conversations with industry leaders and trailblazers on the profound impact of financial service sector in driving sustainable development and creating an equitable society. In this podcast series, we shine a spotlight on the vital role of women in the financial sector and their contributions to shaping a more inclusive and progressive financial sector. This podcast series complements our in-person convening, which takes place across Africa. Our next event will be held in Nairobi, Kenya, this October 16th and 17th. To register, visit our website at angazaforums.com. That is angazaforums.com. In today's podcast, we delve into the insights of Mary Mulili, the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of UBA Kenya and Angaza Awards 2024 honoree. Mary's visionary leadership has not only propelled UBA Kenya to the heights of financial success, but has also positioned her as a trailblazer in championing women's advancement within the African financial sector. Under her guidance, UBA Kenya has seen remarkable growth, doubling its asset value and achieving a remarkable 115% increase in banking income in 2023. Mary's commitment to customer centricity, operational efficiency, and sustainable banking practices underscores her dedication to driving inclusive economic growth across Sub-Saharan Africa. My name is Mwakaneno Gakweli, and the topic for today's discussion is the leadership journey, fostering growth and inclusion. We're happy to have you, Mary.
Thank you very much.
So, first things first.
As a first-time bank CEO, you must have faced glass ceilings and numerous challenges. Tell us about your journey. How did you start working in the banking sector?
Interesting. For me, I landed in banking by accident. My first stint of work was in media. And while I was doing the media work, mainly in accounting at the Standard Group, then Standard and KTN, one of the evenings I was with my friends and they say there's this job advert that had been run at NIC Bank then. And I submitted my application. And surprisingly, within 2 weeks, I had moved from media to banking. Of course, my expectations in joining banking at that point, I thought it would be like what media is, exciting. And my first thing was a shocker, because what was used to happen in media was not was happening in banking at that point. And being a first-time banker, I found a lot of rules, policies that we had to really abide in, which was, to me at that point, looked a bit boring. But things changed pretty fast. When I was thrown into the deep end of sales, which I'd never done, and my life changed.
How was it like, business development, as we call it?
The first time was very scary because I was then with a product, promoting a product for the bank called The Move, where we were recruiting personal banking customers. And my first meeting was with Express Kenya, and I organized a meeting, got all the employees of Express Kenya in a room, of a lunch break. And of course, I expected my boss and my boss's boss to do the presentation. But when you got there...
Lo and behold.
You got to carry your own cross. And I was there doing this presentation for bank products, having to learn this language I didn't understand and having to relate to the customers. But that was a turning point for me because I was able to onboard most of those employees, their relatives, their friends, and I met my targets month on month. Not only met, but exceeded. So for me, that was a shocker, but it shaped who I was in banking.
How long ago was this?
This was almost 20 years ago.
Okay, so we've traveled 19, 20 years to now. And under your leadership, the bank has achieved impressive financial milestones. What has been that key driver that has propelled the bank forward?
Okay. Just before I speak about the bank, it's also just speaking about that first experience, because most of the people that I met there moved to other organizations and they moved at senior roles over the years, either being the CFOs, being the CEOs, and really formed the backbone of my sales journey and business development journey. Because you'd find if I look at a company, say like Standard Group, the CFO, the CEO is somebody I dealt with either in Express Kenya, if you look at the flower farms, if you look at fertilizer entities, if you look at logistics companies, if you look at manufacturing entities, because this pool of 400 people and its ecosystem was so rich. And as they grew, I also grew in my career. So this taught me a very key point in terms of relationship management, building relationships and maintaining them. And just being upfront with the customers. If you can do something, do it. If you can't do it, tell them and tell them in a timely manner. And they'll respect your word. They know when you tell them you could do something, they know you'll deliver. And if you say you can't do it, they know there are reasons of why you can't deliver with. So coming into UBA, of course, I've walked from that journey where I was an entry clerk, sort of a staff in the banking industry, growing to what you call a relationship officer, to an assistant manager, to a relationship manager, to head in a unit, and again, even stepping into the big banks in this market. And this was for me was in 2007 to 2012 when I worked for Kenya Commercial Bank, where I worked for an entity that had a very huge balance sheet and I could do very interesting things. Financed the first inland container depot, played a very key role in the horticulture sector, which the bank was not doing. Did a lot within the telco space, within Safaricom. A lot of changes were happening and got into this project just to onboard Safaricom and its entire ecosystem. Dealing with tourism, you know, things that the bank had not done, aviation funding, hospitality funding, which was very unique. But one thing, there was one thing about selling, but again, as you sell, you also have to do the research. You know, if I want to convince my credit committee about financing, say a caravan, you know, credit person has never probably seen or understands how is aviation. How do you securitize such kind of an asset? And understanding the laws that govern such a specific industry. So not only engaging people internally, researching and engaging people in the sector, aviation, the lawyers, because you also have to understand the law that governs some of these specific sectors to be able to build a case that when it's tabled to the board, will actually sell. Remember, a customer in the bank won't come to the bank to defend their case. They rely on the relationship manager or the officer who's promoting this transaction. So you really have to research and research widely to be able to deliver or to get these kind of approvals and onboard these customers again. Again, if you look at the age and also orientation of different people, you know, I remember there's one case I was presenting and we didn't have an actual security and we had to come up with a unique proposition in terms of building what we call a sinking fund. From every revenue this customer was making, we were setting aside part of that money just to make the transaction bankable. So most people might turn customers away because they are lazy or they don't want just to do the hard work of lifting to ensure that they build this case to defend or to really show the value opportunity in the business that they are doing as well. So coming to UBA and being a Pan-African bank, I think for me, it gave me also a space to play, you know, and also to bring in innovation. And also giving me the exposure in interacting with my colleagues from other different countries. So very quickly and very early on when I joined the bank, I was able to network with my colleagues across the continent and also the other subsidiaries that are outside the continent. And I was able to learn quite a bit pretty fast. Again, as this bank also allows you to come up with new ideas in terms of product development, in terms of propositions that can serve entities and also looking at partnerships that we can ride on to be able to build it. So for us, and when I joined the bank at that point, strategic partnerships, innovations have been at the center of everything that we do. And also having a board and group management that is very keen to seeing innovations coming on board and also challenging the core of who we are to see to how to do things differently. I came to this bank as an executive director, worked with very supportive teams, and also my bosses internally, who challenged me, engaged in most of the things that we were looking to do in the innovation space. To see myself here on my fourth year since I joined the bank as the MD CEO of the bank, it just shows how open the bank is. And when I look across the continent also as well, we've also given opportunities to women at senior leadership level. Our current CEO Africa is a woman in charge of 19 countries. If you look at our board composition again, we also have women forming at least a majority of a third or more than a third within those spaces as well. When I come back again to Kenya, if I look at the population as well, even the staffing itself, close to 50% are women. If I move to senior leadership, we're about 55%, 45 being women and 55% being men. And these are women who give their voices and also hold in some of the crucial and critical roles within the organization.
Mary, under your leadership, UBA Kenya has achieved impressive financial milestones. What has been the key driver in propelling the bank forward?
Customer centricity has been at the core of our driving our business locally, and not only as a subsidiary, but also at the group level. And this, we've been able to push our staff through training, both locally and using cases in our markets that have adopted this approach, and also through UBA Academy to ensure that the staff have the right skills in terms of understanding the customer needs and providing the solutions. We do these trainings continually every week, once a week, and also through the UBA Academy. We've also done certifications to ensure that the staff are equipped in terms of what it looks like to be a customer-centric environment. And we also measure this on our weekly performance, having customer experience as a key pillar for us. And we've also enrolled other external entities just to also help us look inwards in how we're doing and faring in terms of this milestone. And with it, we've seen the development of new products. We've seen growth of wallet share, the businesses that we currently have. The other critical thing is on innovation and technology. We know, again, the era we are in and the customer that we are serving is a customer that is very tech savvy. It's a customer who has a lot of information and a lot of options. How do we innovate to ensure that we serve this particular customer? And just as an example, we currently have what we call the Leo chat, which is available on Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp to serve our customers. And we've won awards, actually, in this space and digital space of innovation. Also in Kenya, we've set up the Innovation Hub. We have an Innovation Hub where we look at ideas that solve certain problems for our customers in our markets that we can also replicate in other subsidiaries as well. The other thing is on strategic partnerships. Looking at us in this market, we only have 5 branches. How do we still reach most of the customers in the market? And for us, strategic partnership has been that thing that can take us and ensure that we serve many customers. And just to mention some of the partnerships that we've onboarded, the African Guarantee Fund, which is supporting us to serve the SME market within this subsidiary. This is a scope or market that we were not serving before. We also signed up an agreement with the AFTCA, where we have a line of $285 million for SMEs for the next 3 years. And for Kenya, we are looking at about over $50 million that will enable us to serve this market within our region. We've also partnered with other entities, fintechs, SACOs, to ensure that we give services to the underserved or some of the markets that we would not have reached as a bank. Looking at governance and to speak, I have a board that I look at and I say they actually think as young people and they really push us beyond our boundaries to ensure that we come up with innovations and products I know they always see who is doing what in the market, and they're always benchmarking. And they'll probably be the first to ask me, have you seen what this bank has done? Not only locally, but even across the continent, and just challenging us. How do we innovate and build products to serve certain levels of market? Again, collaborations across the group. We're in 24 subsidiaries. Again, learning for some of those experiences that have been winning in those markets and bringing them to our local market has been very key for us. Every day, I feel like I'm working in one branch, yet it is a group because I'm able to interact with people from, say, on average in a day, 7 to 8 countries, looking at how can we solve problems or how can we import some of those key learnings.
There's a lot of cross-collaboration between subsidiaries.
A lot, which really, really helps. And I think it's one thing that UBA Group has gotten right in terms of making us feel like one, in terms of how we approach problems and how we solve problems, and also bring in all those learnings locally.
How do you see these efforts influencing broader gender diversity in the financial sector? What is that outcome looking like?
Okay. Of course, if you look at the banking sector, like especially for us, I can speak about UBA Bank now, and we've designated products that now are speaking to women. One of the biggest problems that the women have been facing has been lack of security. But the mere fact that I can be able to partner with an entity like Safaricom or a Total or a big any other big buyer in the market and make sure that I ring fence his transactions from the time the LPO is issued, I process a facility, pay directly to the supplier, ensure the goods are supplied, and ensure that the payment is collected within the bank and liquidate this borrowing, I can do it at almost no security. Okay. Also, through other partnerships and other financial institutions like in credit insurance entities, we were able to provide covers for some of these facilities for women SMEs to reduce the burden of having to provide a security to the bank. And we've seen, if you look at the journey, if you look at the customer journey, we've seen women who've started from maybe the first order to now becoming really established within this sector because of the consistency and delivery times that we've been able to achieve. So such kind of partnerships and information to women will see a growth, not only in these women-led businesses, but also in the financial institutions as well. Because you'll be showing a journey. You can imagine somebody who starts by supplying 5,000 worth of goods to Safaricom to seeing them grow up to about $1 million in terms of supplies. That's a success story, and it's doable. And we've seen how women are consistent in terms of what they do.
So the Angaza Awards plays a vital role in celebrating women's achievement in finance. From your perspective, why are such platforms essential for inspiring women and empowering the next generation of female leaders in Africa? And what opportunities do they create for women in the banking industry?
One of the things that we've been blamed of as my generation is because that we don't tell our stories. And I think Angaza just provides that platform to tell our stories. Just people seeing that sitting in a C-suit, if you asked me 20 years ago, would I be an MD of a bank? It wasn't even anywhere near my dreams. But I walked into a bank 20 years ago as a direct sales agent. And direct sales agents is where we hawk loans. We actually go selling, knocking door to door to sell. And now I'm sitting in a place of making decisions. I didn't know anyone in the bank. I walked into the bank with an open mind, took up the challenges that were thrown my way, including the first one, which I spoke about, went into a meeting. And I was thrown there to actually do that presentation and has been consistent in terms of growth, seen from that entry level to where I am. So one, the stories that we tell and that every woman knows that they have a place in leadership in the financial sector. Number two, again, showcasing and also opening the networks across the continent. Being a nominee of Angaza, I've been able to meet my other counterparts in other countries and also learning from their experiences in terms of how they've done things and drawing some of those experiences to my daily work. Again, looking at policy. Policy is very key. And not only policy in the banking sector, but also working with the other players, the government, and other associations, just to ensure that the voice of women and businesses is heard across the continent. So Angaza, for me, has played that pivotal, those critical points in terms of giving me that visibility and also opening the networks. And more importantly for me, it's really paying it forward by sharing my example and what it is I've gone through my career till where I am.
In your experience, your 20 years in banking, what are some of the main challenges that young women encounter when pursuing careers in finance, especially in the continent? And what actionable steps can organizations take to reduce these challenges?
I'll just speak through my experience. And again, because I've walked this journey with my peers, women, that we began the banking profession together. And one of it has been mainly on the work-life integration. And especially if you join banking as a fresh graduate, of course, you go through that career and there are some things that will go on in that life, getting married, getting children, and of course, wanting to be there with your children as well. While on this part of the continent, we are lucky to have a lot of support system in terms of, you know, our families and also the caregivers. That keeps you away from work. And you'd be amazed what 4 months can actually do. While a male counterpart is pushing on in terms of growing in their own space, you have to take more or less like a break. And it doesn't end there. You still have to work on the journey with your kids until they get much older. The other thing has also been stereotypes, where certain roles, even in the bank, people have always almost branded it to be a male kind of a space. If you look at something like credit, CFO of a bank, or even MD, you know, there's been always that, you know, unsaid command that it's a place for men. Mm. And you find that women just get comfortable at the second level or even third level mid-management and really don't want to push further. Of course, as you go up, you find again, in terms of time that is expected of you to either prepare for some of senior management meetings, board meetings, might call on you, or some of the assignments might call on you to work outside the normal working hours and also travel. Again, if you are a regional manager, you're probably expected to be in many branches across the country, which means you have to step away from your family. And you find most of the women were probably given the option to choose not to take that role, but have a role which essentially keeps them where their families are. But the things that have happened, and also coming out of COVID, the advent of normalizing remote working, which has given women opportunities to take a lot of work, even outside the station, and still having to take care of their children. Online programs, like for UBA, we have what we call the UBA Academy, where we have a lot of courses there, where people can actually take at their own time and grow in their knowledge in various aspects. Also as a bank, and if you look at the recruitments that we do from the entry level, the graduate management program for Kenya, which we closed this year, we had 50-50 in terms of even the people that we were bringing to the workforce, 50% being women, 50% being men. And also internally, we've also onboarded a program to support women and to mentor them into these positions. And also just hearing from other people who've taken up leadership roles as women and having to balance all this. So we have what we call the Elevator to support women and to engage with them in a safe, informal space. And for them just being free to ask and to express their fears and concerns on some of those things. The other thing that I've seen and probably would call also young women is also for them to raise their hands. We've seen a lot of women who don't want to take risks. In fact, sometimes for the mid-level kind of and senior level management, you almost have to fish them out to make applications. While men would apply even when they're not fully qualified, then they would want to be 150% qualified to take up these positions or even to apply. So again, also calling them out from where I sit to take up and also mentoring them one-on-one. It doesn't matter which level you are. And just shaping your thinking in what opportunities you should take up within the banking sector. So those are some of the major challenges that I've seen. But I must also appreciate the journey that most financial institutions have taken up, because we are seeing more and more women coming up and taking up leadership roles. And it's something that is really encouraged, that everybody's input in an organization is valid and they can actually go to where their dreams can take them. Thank you.
Larry, you raised very valid points on the importance of innovation to you as a bank and how you've been supporting SMEs in different sectors, both at Kenyan level and at regional level for the whole bank. Now, as we close this podcast, what are your parting shots? What would you like your listeners to remember?
Okay. Since the conversation for us today has been in leadership in the financial sector, and just looking at my journey, we discussed when I was opening this podcast, is that as women, we need to invest in ourselves. Don't wait for somebody to do things for you. And we are living in an era where learning is as close as your phone. And if I look at some of the courses that I've invested for myself, I've been on Coursera. You know, you can either do the course for free,
And this, you don't get certification.
You don't get a certification.
Right.
And if you want a certification, you just pay a small amount, $40, $50. And it's courses by Ivy League universities. So nobody should give an excuse that I have not built my skills. There's a lot of information. There are webinars. There are seminars that you can actually invest on based on your line or profession. The other thing is on professional networks. Again, I remember as I was growing in my career, that the women that I was looking up to, and I made it my commitment to follow what they are doing and also reach out to them. And you'd be amazed. Even if you wrote me an email today and said, Mary, I would like 10 minutes or 15 minutes of your time just to pick your mind on my career, I'll be happy to help, because I like the women who raise up their hands. Because you know where you're going and probably you don't have clarity. And probably through my story or my journey, I can give you that clarity. There's a lot of professional networks out here. There's Executive Connect locally. There's accounting.
Oh, you go to the one at Romo?
Yes, I go to the one in Romo.
Okay.
There's accounting professional networks. There's a lawyers networks. Again, plug in yourself based on your line of business in these professional networks. We'll ensure that, one, if there are opportunities to learn, will be available to you. And even when you want to pick someone's mind on your area of profession, you'll really, really have them readily there. Again, volunteering. I remember my first board commitments was through volunteership, through the Kenya Association of Manufacturers, KEPSA. And again, as you go there, even for you to be visible, you have to do the homework. Don't go just to the table to sit and listen. If there's a problem or a policy that the entity is trying to drive, ensure that you plug in and come to the table with valid points of the pain points and how they can be solved. If you look at bankers locally, we have the Kenya Bankers Association, which always seeks for members to sit on various committees. We have the International Chamber of Commerce, which has a banking commission in it, and many other lines of it. It's on volunteer basis, and a lot of work is required of you, which you need to do after your work or over the weekends. But again, it gives you that experience of serving in committees and also serving in boards and really pushing policy. So people should volunteer for that. Again, if you're given an assignment, always ask yourself, this assignment I'm doing, what is the end game of this assignment? What do I need to deliver? Or what is the purpose of the report I'm doing? And when you put yourselves in the shoes of the person who is receiving this report, you'll do a report that communicates to what they really wanted to achieve. And always do it well and do it better than it has ever been done. let people know that when an assignment is given to you, it will not only be delivered, but it will be delivered in the best way possible.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that will make sure that you are visible even in an organization. Okay? You can imagine if you have an organization of 5,000 people, how do you get visible, you know, in how you deliver the assignments that you're given and keeping the word in terms of delivery. Again, when you get to the table as a woman, make sure your voice is heard. And how will your voice be heard? By the time you're going for this meeting, make sure you've done enough research and that what you're bringing to the table is something that will change the conversation at that table. And last, always raise your hand. Yeah. When people ask to do something, be that person who raises their hand.
Put yourself forward.
Yeah. Put yourself forward. You know, it will make you learn a lot and learn very quickly. I remember as a young banker, I used to do even reports of my director, you know, because I wanted to learn. I needed just to know what conversations really go on in the executive committee. Yeah. And that propelled me. So even when I went for the interview for the next role, I was more or less like ready because I knew what the expectations were. And it's things that I've been doing. It was outside the scope of my work. It was actually above the scope. But I put myself forward.
Mary, it's a pleasure to have you on this podcast. And I like your pointers from the bank level, the importance of innovation, the importance of creating platforms for learning and creating a brand that is harmonized across the region such that there's that seamless integration between different subsidiaries. And your pointers on the importance of putting yourself forward really, really resonate with me. And I'm sure they're going to resonate with our listeners. Thank you again for being a guest on this podcast, and we look forward to hearing from you at the Angaza Forum, which takes place on the 16th and 17th of October. See you then.
Thank you very much. It was a delight having this conversation.